The first point we're going to think about today is that wilderness is not a sign of God's absence. And the desert wanderings were actually a moment after one of those great mountaintop experiences for the people of Israel. For years, for generations, they had been in bondage, and suddenly Pharaoh had let them go. They were free. There was dancing, there was shouting. They were free from that bondage. And as they sang and as they joyfully get percussion instruments, you'll see in Exodus 15, they were on top of the world. That moment of exultation. Wow, this is amazing. But fairly soon, those moments and songs of joy and Miriam with a tambourine turned to grumbling, as you've had earlier. They went into the desert, into the wilderness. First, they went into a desert or wilderness called Shur, where there's no fresh water. Then they went into a desert called the Desert of Sin, where there was no food. And yet, as we saw earlier in our reenactment, in both those places, in those wilderness moments, God provided. And what we just saw there was some words from Deuteronomy, reminding the people of Israel to remember. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness those 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you'd keep his commands. God is not absent in the wilderness times. He is there also. We should not see those difficult times of faith and life as when God has abandoned us and left us, or whether think that God is trying to punish us. That's just not true. Actually, these passages remind us that those wilderness moments are a time when God can test our hearts. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well for you. You say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. God is not absent in those wilderness times. He's there working on us and working with us. And our next reading is from Mark's Gospel. I invite Bethan to come and share in that reading for us. It's a little bit lower. And this is from Mark 1, verses 9 to 13.
At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in Jordan. As Jesus was coming up from out the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit let him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days. Being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals and the angels attended him.
Fantastic. Thank you. The second point I want to make today about the wilderness is that we are led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus begins his ministry with a very similar pattern to what that which we've just looked at about the nation of Israel when it was formed as it left Egypt. He goes through the waters, not of the Red Sea, but the waters of baptism in the Jordan River. And again, there is this mountaintop experience at that moment of baptism where the Spirit descends on him and the voice of the Father speaks those amazing words of affirmation and devotion. You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. And in a human sense, you think that's the perfect preparation to go forward to ministry, isn't it? They talk about in sports teams, don't they, about having confidence. Confidence is high. Now's the time to go and win this. And they've had a fantastic semi-final in the curling. They're going to go and win the gold medal. Possibly, maybe not. Boo for the Canadians. But that sense, often we think you're on a high and now's the time to really go and use that momentum and that enthusiasm. And yet, as we've just heard, that's not what happens. What happens is this. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. It's interesting, isn't it? Have you ever experienced that moment when you thought God was calling you, sending you, empowering you, but then it's followed by setbacks and disappointments? That time of amazing closeness to God followed by periods of dryness. If you have, or if you're in one of those, take heart, because you're following in the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus was led into the wilderness because actually the preparation that he needed for ministry was not the high of his baptism, but was the 40 days of reflection, of testing, of relying on God. It's in those moments that sometimes the Spirit leads us to reflect and to think, to pause and to wonder. And during this time of Lent, we're going to reflect on how do we worship in the wilderness? How do we keep close to God? How do we learn? So much of what we do in churches can sometimes feel very celebratory. That it's upbeat songs and it's great news and it's good fun things and it's nice, exciting reenactments, and we can be the people of Israel and we can be God, and oh, it's great. But there are times also we can learn from lament, from silence, from calling out to God in just as a powerful way. The third thing about wilderness is that it is a place of worship and transformation. Have you ever noticed what exactly Moses said to Pharaoh? If you've seen the animated films, if you've seen there was the Ten Commandments that had someone famous in years ago. I've got it. Charlton Heston, was it? Yeah. Oh, you obviously haven't watched it either. If you look at that, we often think you hear Moses saying to Pharaoh, "Pharaoh, let my people go." And Pharaoh says, "Nah." And he goes, "Let my people go." But actually, what he says is something slightly longer. We love a catchphrase and a soundbite. But actually, what he says is this: "Let my people go, that they may worship me in the wilderness." That was God's message. It wasn't just, "Let my people go." It was, "Let my people go so they can worship God in the wilderness." And we often think of wilderness as a barren place in physical ways, but also when we are in a wilderness moment, that actually we can't worship. And yet actually we can worship in those dry, difficult times. I don't know about you, I had I had to tread carefully at my past church whenever I mentioned a certain word. It wasn't a swear word, don't worry, it's all right, I wasn't one of those old-fashioned hussing and cussing ministers. It was the word caravan. Now, caravan, one of my first experiences of being at Bewdley 17, 18 years ago, was standing over coffee and hearing a couple of guys discussing the new model Pegasus caravan. "Hey, Anthony, have you seen it?" "Seen what, John?" "The new model Pegasus caravan." "I haven't. What about it?" "It's new, and it's 18 inches shorter than the last one." "It's not." "It is." "You mean, actually, it could fit on my drive?" "It could." And I thought, I'm in too deep here. And once or twice, I made slightly disparaging comments. I know on Top Gear, they have a very negative attitude towards caravans. They like throwing cars over cliffs to land on caravans, and they like blowing them up. And so I made a negative comment, and I could see glaring eyes looking at me. Because actually, there were a lot of caravanners in Bewdley. Bless them. Someone has to be. But Kate and I haven't really been caravan, but we have done some camping in the past. Recently, the last time we went camping with some friends, we went to Cotswold Farm Park with the kids. They're about 10 or 11. What a wonderful thing you can do. 3 days on a beautiful hill. Next door's a zoo. We can do all sorts. It was terrible. Our friends were lovely. They were great. Their kids were fine. But for 3 solid biblical rainfall days, we sat in our tents playing Uno and Happy Families. I swore after the 18th game of Happy Families, I didn't ever want to do Master Owl or Master Rabbit ever again. And I looked at it and thought, why didn't we book into a holiday cottage? Which is basically what we've done ever since that camping trip 10 years ago. And I remember sitting in that campsite thinking, looking enviously for the only time in my life at someone's Pegasus caravan. as the rain came pouring down, they were sitting there watching the telly and cooking a nice cup of tea on an electric kettle. And for us, it was different. If you want to eat, it's fine, but you have a gas canister. You have to connect it up. You have to hope it doesn't explode. You can only got two rings, so it's beans and beans, or beans and sausages, or sausages and sausages, or whatever. You have to sleep on the floor. Going down is hard, but getting up is much harder. You can hear everything, can't you? Yeah, if someone's kid next tent along is crying, we all share the pain. If someone's snoring like a rhinoceros, we all enjoy that sound. And in some ways, we sometimes think of worship and rain to God being a bit like caravan and holiday cottage versus camping. We'd rather worship God in the nice places than actually in the times in the tent, under canvas. And yet, there is something special about camping. That sound you hear at dawn when the birds wake up. And it rises and it floods. When you get out of your tent and there's this beautiful dew glistening. Or not, as the case may be. That sense of companionship. When those who also have got through the storm and you laugh about it and you spend time. They are both different. But there are moments in camping that you don't get in a caravan or in a cottage. And actually, wilderness worship enables us to worship in different ways, but actually it can be really powerful too. Worship such as worship through fasting, when we deliberately don't eat a meal in order to have more time to pray, can be very powerful. Worship through solitude, when we go and spend time with God on our own and let him speak to us. Worship through simplicity. Not an amazing band with amazing songs, but just a psalm repeated as we read it and listen to it. Even times of silence can be worship and can be worshipful and can be profound. Times of lament when we say to God, God, this is tough, and we're honest. Just like the psalmists do, we can hear God speaking. Or giving things away in our worship, giving away our time, our energy, our things we own. If you want to embrace someone, if you want to say hello, if you want to hug your family, it's often difficult to do that with a handful of stuff, isn't it? If we want to be full of closeness, we can't do that whilst carrying the dog, two mugs, and a phone. You have to put them down sometimes, don't you? To get close. And the same can be true in worship. Sometimes it's important to have music and song and words. But other times, stripping it back, getting to, as Matt Redman said famously, we're coming back to the heart of worship, can be very valuable. So in this Lent journey to Easter, maybe try some different ways of worshipping. Maybe try some ways in which you haven't perhaps done before. Try solitude. Try reading a psalm. Try being on your own. Try lament and saying to God how you feel. Even if we're on a mountaintop at the moment, we can get something from worshipping in those wilderness ways. As we come now to a moment of response, we're going to start by saying a prayer together. And then after that, we're going to listen to a song that reflects a little bit about those moments. This may be for you. You may be in a difficult place, and this may be really helpful. Or you may think, actually, life's good. I'm loving things. Well, you may find it helpful as well, or you may find yourself praying for those for whom life is difficult. So if you would say the words in bold as we go through, and then we'll listen to this song. Sometimes we feel like we're walking through wilderness. Jesus, we choose to walk with you. When our spirits feel dry, help us to trust in your spirit. Jesus, we choose to walk with you. Fasting seems difficult. Prayers seem unanswered. Jesus, we choose to walk with you. The world howls like wild animals all around us. Jesus, we choose to walk with you. We can choose to worry or to trust you to provide. Jesus, we choose to walk with you. Temptation is everywhere. Doubts can overwhelm us. Jesus, we choose to walk with you. You know what it's like to walk through this desert. Jesus, we choose to walk with you. You long to transform us with wilderness worship. Jesus, we choose to worship you. Amen. Let's listen to this song as we reflect together. Lord, as we journey through this Lent time, help us to journey with you. Help us to know something of that wilderness worship. Help us to know that you are there with us, transforming us, guiding us, and renewing us. And Lord, as we start to think about returning to another week, but we pray that you will help us to journey with you into that week. Help us to remember what we have heard from you. And help us to share that light that you have shown to us. Lord, we pray that as we go to that place, we'll be so aware of your presence. Help us, Lord, to worship in action and in presence with you. Amen. Amen.